Are you awake? Stay with me, stay with me. We are dragging a little bit. The song we just sang was Holy Spirit, Living Breath of God. In the second verse we find, Holy Spirit, come abide within. May your joy be seen in all I do. Love enough to cover every sin in each thought and deed and attitude. Kindness to the greatest and the least. Gentleness that sows the path of peace. Turn my strivings into works of grace. Breath of God, show Christ in all I do. Thanks, Raj. You can pull up the first one up for me, mate. Gentleness that sows the path of peace. Peace. We continue our studies of the Sermon on the Mount, which we find recorded in Matthew 5, 6 and 7. We've been especially focusing upon the beginning with Jesus teaching what's become known as the Beatitudes. Today we come to the seventh and second last of the Beatitudes, which we find in Matthew chapter 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Let's pray as we open up God's word and see what he wants to talk to you this morning. Father, as we do open your word, Father, may you teach us afresh. May you challenge us. May you lead us. May you guide us. Father, as we open your word, as we think about your word, Father, we pray that you'll just lead and guide us this morning. We ask in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Thanks, Raj. As we've discovered with the Beatitudes, when we read blessed, we need to be careful what we mean by it. You may remember Scott Morrison used the term blessed in relation to his children the other week when he was speaking to the regard to the NDIS scheme. The actual Greek translation of the word blessed does not merely denote one whom God blesses. Actually, some translations translate the Greek word as happy. And it's perhaps a better translation if used not of the mental state, but of a condition of life. It introduces someone who is fortunate, is to be congratulated for the task they're actually carrying out. And R.T. Francis, in his commentary in Matthew, writes, in the Beatitudes, Jesus is teaching the disciples, and can I add us, the attitude of the true disciple, the one who accepts the demands of God's kingdom. Even the meaning of the word beatitude, which by, you may not realise, you actually don't find in the Bible, it's not actually there. It comes from a Latin word, beatus, meaning blessed or happy. In the dictionary, we find this, the meaning of that. The blessedness of those who have certain qualities or experiences peculiar to those belonging to the kingdom of heaven. So blessed or happy are the peacemakers. But no, Jesus doesn't say, blessed are those who love peace, which I think most of us would love, and we've been thinking about, and David prayed for Ukraine, and we would want peace there. Jesus is saying, blessed and happy are those who are peacemakers, those who are going about the task of peacemaking. Then we read, blessed or happy are the peacemakers, for they shall be called, I think the NIV had children, or the New King James says, sons of God. When Jesus says this, he's not telling us how to become a son of God. If you want to see how to become a son or daughter, Raj is going to put up on the screen now two verses which are very applicable. John 1:12. To all who received him as Jesus, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Galatians 3:26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ. We don't become a son of God by being a good peacemaker. We become by faith and receive what Jesus Christ has done for us. And we'll be thinking about that a bit later in the service. Rather, Jesus is simply saying the sons of God, believers, should be in the task of peacemaking. It's almost as Christians go out in the task of peacemaking, God says and looks at us and says, that's my son, that's my daughter, they're in peacemaking. That's the role they should be doing. We also need to note that the phrase to be called, actually used in an official in the Greek term, is what's called the future tense. So what it's saying also is, hence there's a future focus. It's almost like there's a heavenly status we look to as well as being to those to be called. It's a future one as well. Almost like God says, welcome home, good and faithful servant, good and faithful peacemaker. Welcome home. So blessed or happy are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. But peacemakers, how should they be involved? Thanks, Raj. I want to suggest number one, and you can flick to the next screen for me. First one is peace with God. And you'll find this verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 to 21. There's two screens, get ready for it. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though we were pleading through us, that God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The issue is, God is a holy God and therefore cannot have a relationship with sinful people. Therefore, all people are under God's wrath because of our sins. But there's always a however. However, the gospel message is the truth that Christ bore God's wrath on the cross for our sins. He paid the penalty for our sin so we can have a right relationship with God. You'll find in Romans 5 verse 1, it isn't there, don't worry about it, Raj. Romans 5 verse 1, therefore, since we have been declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, peacemakers are those who seek to share this message because we have experienced it. Therefore, we want to share it with others, hoping to reconcile people with God. But how do we do that? Roger's going to put up on the screen a passage from 1 Peter 3:15. A great one I've used often. But sanctify the Lord in your hearts and always be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. That can be a dangerous one to be walking around with, all right? Always be ready or always be prepared. I used to always say, people said, well, how do you do that? When I was at work, no, I'll admit to, when I was in other work, not in ministry work, people, you'd always come to the around and on a Monday morning, people would say, well, what did you do for the weekend? Well, I went to the footy on Saturday. I went to church. I used to always say, yeah, great. I went to church on Sunday and we had a great time. We sang about God and we had a great time. It's interesting how the conversation all of a sudden changes about, but what does that mean? Why would you go to church for? And it was interesting how many conversations I could have just by opening up the door. And that's our role. Can I tell you, and you need to know this, you don't make anybody a Christian. Your role is to be prepared and give the answer. Tell the gospel truth. The Holy Spirit is the one who convicts and brings them to God. But our role is still there. So look for opportunity. Perhaps it's part of the mustard tree. I used to often go to meal nights in Ferntree Gully. There's being a pastor, it's really hard. The conversation always comes around, what do you do for a job? Well, I'm a pastor of a church. It's interesting how the language changes all of a sudden when you say that, but also how the conversation suddenly, I used to go to Sunday school once. Look for opportunities to share people with God. Next one I want to show is peace with others. We find in Romans 12, 17 to 18, repay no one evil for evil, have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men and women. I want you to know that Paul says here, if it is possible, as much as depends on you. With Paul saying that, he's really saying it won't always be possible. You won't always be able to live at peace with everybody. You can only guide what you are saying. You have no control over what someone else is saying. But he's saying how you is. But as we consider all men, Paul wants to remind us that we have the upper hand as believers. Because as a true believer, we have the Holy Spirit living in us. As such, we have the fruit of the Spirit. Peter spoke about it last week, and you'll find it in Galatians 5, 22 to 23. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, beautiful, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We need to note it speaks about the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruits of the Spirit. As such, we have open to all of them the fruit of the Spirit. Peace is part of that. I recall a time I experienced no peace. I had unrest with an elder of a church I was pastor of. I was receiving angry comments, not very nice texts, and can I tell you, I was having a few sleepless nights. I finally got the opportunity to suggest that we meet just together. After some time, much of that was me listening, and then we spoke just together. A lot of the issues that we worked out were misunderstanding, and we didn't understand some things. We spent some time, and he asked for forgiveness, and we spoke together. I wouldn't say that we're on fantastic terms now, but we are more peaceably. And when I see him, I can actually greet him now, when beforehand I couldn't do that. We need to note that the emphasis is on us. And for me, it was a matter of going out of my way to go, hang on a second, this isn't right. We need to chat about this one. Thanks, Raj. Next one, quickly. The third one is peace in the church. And we found in Ephesians 4:1-6, which Jenny read out just before. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you are called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called into one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. Endeavour to keep the unity of the Spirit of the bond of peace. Paul is not saying there will always be unity and peace in the church. And can I tell you, over my many, many years, I think I joined Moorabbin Baptist Church in 1968. I've experienced some churches which haven't had peace. But Paul employs, he actually pleads that we endeavour. Look for ways, look for opportunities. Can you suggest things which may create disunity or lack of peace in a church? Just name a couple. Not personal ones, of course. Anything which you suggest can sometimes create disunity or lack of peace in a church. Gossip, yeah. Music. Praise the Lord. David. We'll never get that one right. Any other things you can think of? Doctrine. Ego, sorry? Doctrine. Doctrine. Yep, absolutely. One more? Oh, must be a peaceful church. Great. Let me suggest there are a couple up there which you'll find. Tradition, gatekeepers, worship style, doctrine are some which came to my mind. Tradition. Churches, whether we're a Baptist church, so we don't have those sort of things. Yes, we do. When Lynn and I were part of Little Baptist Church, one of the things we really enjoyed was we did musicals. And we prepare a musical for a few months. Then we would do the musical here and we'd take it somewhere else. We went to a church, which I won't name, somewhere down in Gippsland, just to check the place out to make sure that we could put the musical on. We went into it. It was a fairly new church and had a lovely stage. And we said, okay, that'd be great. That'd work really well. Could we move the table? Oh, gee whiz. It was the communion table. It was bolted to the floor. We said, do you think you could somehow work that out? I said, have to go to a deacon's meeting, that one. They would be absolutely, they'd be horrified. They did unbolt the communion table, put it to one side when we finished. They put it back in, and I think it's still bolted to the floor there now. We have traditions in Baptist churches. Gatekeepers. What I mean by gatekeepers? People who have perhaps been in the church for a long, long while. Think almost, well, my grandfather gave $3,000 to this church and it's my church. Or you haven't done it the right way. You often find this in a country church where it's been like a family church. And gatekeepers can sometimes get in the way of not having peace in there. Worship styles. Now, David, let me just quickly read Psalm 150. Listen to this great psalm. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with a loud sound of a trumpet. Praise him with a lute and harp. Praise him with a timbrel and dance. Praise him with a stringed instrument and flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Can I tell you, we will never get worship style right no matter where we ended up. It's in the Bible. We praise with many things. We sing in a variety of ways. Lynn and I had the opportunity a couple of years ago to go to Queensland. Another Baptist church, I won't name that Baptist church, of course. We happened to go a little bit earlier. We didn't realise we were early. And it was music practice time. So we sat outside and thought, oh, we'll just listen. The first song went for about 15 minutes. And the second song went for another 15 minutes. Only two songs took half an hour. We're sitting out there going, oh, no. Lynn and I sort of just briefly got up. Walked out, went to the Presbyterian church. We had a great time of worship. Can I tell you, you will never get worship right no matter which church you go to. It's always going to be and has been an issue. Hopefully some of the songs we've had this morning have been something you've all been able to sing. Doctrine. This has and continues to be an issue in all churches. And Paul recognises, you actually find in 1 Corinthians Chapter 11, 8 and 19. It's not there, Raj, so don't even try. No, it isn't there. Paul writes this, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it, for there must also be factions among you, that those who approve may be recognised among you. Now, Paul would not have said that if he wasn't concerned that genuine believers don't compromise the truth to prevent divisions. And that's a very awkward one. There will be times when we need to take a stand on the word of God in our churches. And can I tell you, the biggest thing which angsts me at the moment is many churches would never open up the word of God on a Sunday morning. That's what's happening in church life now. To me, that's not a church. We need to be, there's some things we've got to take a stand upon. Well, after focusing upon some of the issues, I'm going to have to quickly move, where time's going. I want to look at some of the characteristics that help us to be good peacemakers. So thanks, Raj. To help us look at that, I'm going to read Ephesians 4, 1 to 2, then Romans 12, 9 to 12. I want you to watch these and tell me in a second. I'm going to ask you a question. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling by which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. Romans 2, 9 to 12. Let your love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly and affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honour giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. If I asked you from those two verses, what some characteristics you think will help us to be good peacemakers, what would you suggest? What are some things in those two passages will help us to be good peacemakers? Name them. What do you think? Steadfast in prayer. Great. What else? Humble and gentle. Yep. What's some other things? Serving the Lord. Let me suggest, you know, Raj is going to pump. Five, I'm quickly going to go through them. So five, I put spirit-led, be prayerful, true love, patient, good communication. Spirit-led, we thought about it just before, as we read in Galatians 4, 6. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts. And the Spirit is transforming us, the fruit, He guides us, He leads us. Actually, if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour, you haven't got the Holy Spirit in you. Scripture's very clear. It's when you do that, then you have the Spirit in you. Prayerful. Paul reminds us in Ephesians 6 to be steadfast in prayer. In verse 10, finally, he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, not your might. And we need that to be peacemakers. True love. When we think of love, we think of the love of Christ showed in us. And we think of that word agape love. Unconditional, pure, willful, sacrificial love. To be a peacemaker, we will need that. Patient. Who's patient around here? Okay. At least there's some truth about people. It's great to see. I'm not a patient person, can I tell you? Two things, I'm not patient and I don't like conflict. I don't like conflict, one thing I don't like. But being patient means being prepared to look out for others. It means when we're in the peacemaking of taking time, of being with them, it's going to be a journey in peacemaking. Good communication skills. James 1:9. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. I work on the theory God created us with two ears and one tongue, and He expects us to use it in that proportion, that we listen a lot and we don't speak too much. And no one's there. Proverbs 12:8. There is one that speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue promotes health. And can I add, peace. We need to be aware that peacemaking, thanks Raj, will not always be easy. There will be times when we won't achieve it. Don't think just because you're a son of God that everything will be peaceful. That's not how it's going to work. It won't work that way. It won't always. With regard to the gospel message that we thought about, we read in Acts 28:24, and some were persuaded by the things which were spoken, and some disbelieved. What about regard with individuals, as we thought about in Romans 12:18? If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peacefully with all men. It won't always be possible. With regard to the church, We only have to look at the church at Corinth to find the ongoing division and not peace. John MacArthur, as we are just wrapping up, John MacArthur writes on this passage saying, "Peacemaking is a hallmark of God's children. A person who is not a peacemaker is either not a Christian or a disobedient Christian. The person who's continually disruptive, divisive, and quarrelsome has good reason to doubt the relationship with God. God's sonnies, all of his children, both male and female, are peacemakers. Only God determines who his children are. And he has determined they are the humble, the penitent over sin, the gentle, the seekers of righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, and the peacemakers." The ongoing challenge Jesus wants to teach us and encourage us is to be peacemakers. And so he says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." And as we continue our thoughts on peacemaking, let's turn to the Lord's Supper and to the supreme peacemaker, the Lord God. And we read in Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 to 20. Just read these. "For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace." How? "Through the blood of his cross." Not because of our goodness, but because of what Jesus done. Then we read in Romans 5, 1 to 12, "Therefore, having justified by good works," no, "having justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." What a marvellous thing. What a marvellous peace. What a marvellous grace we've been given. To help us focus this morning, I want to share a brief experience. Back in 2018, I had the opportunity to take part in a study tour of Israel and Jordan. One of the special moments was travelling to various places around the Sea of Galilee. Not far from Capernaum, we went to a place where people believe Jesus actually preached this sermon. During the message, I've shown you a picture of the place on the hill. That's the place. You can look down on the hill at to the Sea of Galilee. Of course, like any other places, there's a church built up on the site. What do you think this church is called? The Church of the Beatitudes. That's what it actually is called. It's called the Church of the Beatitudes. But it's interesting. As you walk past the church, you can walk down the side of the church on a path which is not well made or whatnot known. And we did, I'm not quite certain, we went through a couple of people's fences, but we got down and we got down to this place here. And it's interesting, as we actually sat down, some of us on the rocks, and you'll find this here, Raj is going to show it. As we sat there, one of the people in the group actually read through the Beatitudes. And can I tell you, that was one of those moments. As we sat there, looking down over to the Sea of Galilee, thinking, this is the hill. I know that in Matthew 5, it talks about he went up to the mountain. Well, it's mostly not a mountain as we would know, and it's more like a hill. But as we sat there, and after she'd actually read through, we just sat there for about 15 minutes and just reflected upon, this could have been the place where Jesus actually read that. Can I take you to another hill? A hill just outside of the walls of Jerusalem, to the place Jesus was crucified, to Golgotha, the place of the skull. Two significant places. And I want to invite you, in a sense, to actually come to the hill. as you come forward in a few minutes to pick up the elements of the bread and the juice from the front. Then go back to your seats. During that time you come, the singers and musos will be playing and singing through a new song called Yet Not I, But Through Christ in Me. So with that in mind and the thoughts about that the Lord actually wants us and invites us just to come, as the muso star, can I encourage you to come forward to take a plate and just quietly go back to your seat again as they play through and sing this song just together. Please come forward as you can. And please look out for others. If others can't come because of a variety of reasons, please look out for them and help them. Perhaps take one back to them. So please be aware of each other. Show love.